Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. This is John Schulter. I'm here in this beautiful building looking out at what hopefully will be the advent of spring soon. I'm here alone today. Carrie's in California doing some work, so I'll be flying solo today, but I've got a wonderful guest that I'm very excited about interviewing and talking to. It's a great, great story. It's a story of courage, of, you know, kind of some choices that were made in terms of career and the people that, as a result of those choices, who are being affected. It's just, I'm very excited to interview this individual. I'm a life coach, and so is my wife, Carrie. And so we have this show is, of course, called The Butterfly Moment. And that's the approach of our practice. We are for transformation, fast change in your life. The Butterfly Moment, as I've said many times, is that experience of the cocoon in the cocoon, where the caterpillar, after being incubated over a period of weeks, finally breaks through and has a realization that it's not what he thought it was. That it's perhaps one of the most beautiful insects alive and one that can fly. Well, we believe in those kind of transformational moments, and that's what this show is all about, where you talk to people about their own butterfly moments. And I'm very excited. You know, when you talk about butterfly moments, it begs the question of how you get there. How does one facilitate that process of transformation? And so I'm writing a book, and very soon on my website, you can go to it at LifeCoach1, that's spelled O-N-E, LifeCoach1, O-N-E.com. You'll be able to get a free copy of the book as soon as it's published. And the name of the book is The Butterfly Code. And I'm studying the amazing, amazing nature of this beautiful insect and what it can do and how it can inspire us. Do you know that the monarch butterfly will fly in the fall before the weather changes to 2,500 miles to Mexico and then back? They go so high in terms of the trajectory of their flying that airplanes can't go as high as some of them can. It's just an amazing, amazing story. But the purpose of the book is to show step by step the path to what I call a miraculous life by patterning some of the things a butterfly does. So stay tuned for that. And in the interim, you can give us a call and we can set up a time and a place for a free session of life coaching. That's 55 minutes directed solely on you, your dreams, aspirations, learning a little bit about you, maybe make some suggestions of a plan of attack. But I think that you will really enjoy. There's no risk. There's no pressure. We are here to serve. I've practiced law for almost 40 years, and this is my opportunity to give back the things that I've learned in the personal injury practice of people who are battling their own physical injuries, physical problems that I've been inspired by. So all of that is together in terms of a curriculum that we have to offer. In terms of a curriculum, there's a lady that I met that has put together quite an amazing, amazing curriculum that is going to help a lot of youth in the Metro Detroit area, and already has. It's directed at this time mostly towards girls. I'll let her tell you more about it, but her name is Nakia Matthews. Her background is social work. But on a part-time basis, she has translated this into a wonderful nonprofit that is affecting the lives of, similar to the Butterfly Foundation, of kind of at-risk kids. She can tell you where they are drawn from, but she has a wonderful approach, a wonderful background. Nakia, are you there?
I am. I'm here, John.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time, your busy schedule. I know that you're running the foundation and you're working and you're a mother also to be on a radio show to talk about your organization and what it's doing.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
Great, great.
Excited to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, to start out, just give us a brief background of where you're from and your academic credentials.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm a young lady born and raised in the city of Detroit, the Northwest Side. That's where I hail from, and currently I'm a private practitioner in mental health. So I'm a therapist with a background in social work and human development.
Hmm.
That's where I am now.
Okay. When I first met you, I was completely fascinated about your story. I think you originally, your family or parents wanted you to, or you thought you wanted to be an architect?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what happened? God said, I've got other plans for you, right?
Exactly. And we have to listen. So it really started in sixth grade when I started using my outlet of creativity and expressive therapy through drawing. And I had a teacher who recognized my skill and told me I should be an architect someday. First time I'd ever heard of the terminology. So I looked into it and I latched onto it. And so from sixth grade all the way to 12th grade, that's what I thought I truly wanted to do with my life. And I got a scholarship to go away to Howard University in D.C. to study architecture. And it just seemed like all the ducks, you know, were in a row, everything lined up, and the universe would have it that I would become an architect. And so I did go away to school for that, and I realized a year and a half into it that I was miserable.
Mm.
Wasn't my life's true calling.
Well, you were to be an architect, but maybe an architect of kids' lives, right?
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
So eventually, it seems to me that you had kind of a butterfly moment of your own where, you know, it was a moment of courage where you just said, I'm breaking out of this and I'm going to fly. Tell us what changed.
Yes. I was always a feisty young girl who wanted to carve out my own path in life. I didn't like following. I didn't like for people to tell me, you know, what to expect of my life or what was safest. So I took the road less traveled as long as I can remember.
Hmm.
So at that moment in school, I had to make the heartbreaking decision to lose this full scholarship and follow my heart, which was always in teaching and mentoring. That's just the core of who I've been since I was a very young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to put the call in to my parents and let them know, you know, I no longer want to be an architect and I was going to switch my career. And I seemed like I floated aimlessly for a year just grieving that decision. But I finally was able to go into the School of Education and talk to someone there at Howard University and decide upon a major that would put me on a track to actually live out my life's purpose.
Hmm. You know, to our young listeners and maybe some of our parents who are out there, what advice would you give to people in terms of career counseling and, you know, listening to the voice versus practicality and you know, the whole money factor and all that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think helping your young people start early, you know, it's never too early to start talking about career options and like the implications of pursuing certain careers. I have a 7-year-old son, and already we talk about, you know, what careers he wants to explore. And I think that's important for parents to know that children make those decisions based on exposure and opportunity and experience. So allow them, you know, to try out new things, and that's a part of what we do in our program. And then release the pressure of crowding them by expectation.
Mm.
Not asking them to be anything than other than who they are intrinsically, and allowing them to carve their own path in life and not imposing your own fears on them because
yeah.
It's generational.
You know, the way I describe it, the metaphor I use is that, you know, let's say that you gave a friend a gift at Christmas, and he took it and looked at it and put it in a drawer or a closet somewhere. and never opened it, how would you feel? And I think that metaphorically, that's how God feels when we don't look and open up the gifts that we have to give to life. Mm-hmm. You know, because it, that's part of our path, to find that thing that we're supposed to do that is our gift, that is needs to be explored, that needs to be cultivated, and really create your time to shine. Because, you know, whatever it is, that's what you need. I use also the example of, you know, there's this cosmic jigsaw puzzle, and we're all trying to find out where we fit in. And if we find that place, you're going to have a lot of fulfillment and a lot of happiness, wouldn't you think?
I do. I do think that. And I there's a quote that I sort of live by and frame my life. And it's maybe the journey isn't about becoming anything, but unbecoming everything so you can be who you were meant to be. And I think if we release ourselves of those expectations of other from others and expectations of ourselves, then we evolve like the butterfly.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, like I talked about with the book, is that just providing those tools, you know, those hammers and saws and things like that to really find that true you. And sometimes you're going to be another metaphor. I'm full of metaphors today. I remember was that when I don't know if it's Da Vinci or a famous artist said that when he was going to do a sculpture of an angel, he would just see the angel and knock away the excess. And if we can find and see the angel inside of all of us and get rid of the excess, that's a big part of our job, isn't it?
It is. Discovering who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and discovering who we are, I think you discovered a great new organization that is called Purposeful Youth. I like how you do the capital Y-O-U, Purposeful Youth in Detroit. Purposeful Youth Detroit. Tell us about how that happened.
So Purposeful Youth Detroit would be my angel there in that rock. So along that journey there in Howard University, when I decided to go with this education track, there was a project that I had to do, which was come up with an organization if we had no barriers that we would create. And that assignment was just almost effortless for me. And there was, you know, the birth, the bare bones of Purposeful Youth Detroit was born. And I knew for sure that that's what I needed to do to be a part of the solution here in Detroit, you know, to the blight and hopelessness that affects so many young people here. So Purposeful Youth Detroit was born.
You know, the interesting thing about, and we talked about this when we met last night, how about a village raises a child, and that, you know, it's being, seem like it's being pawned off on, okay, teachers, you take care of disciplining and discovering, allowing my child to grow, or parents taking off. We need every teacher, and we need parents and brothers and sisters and outside organizations to support development of kids and their skills.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not one person's job, and I think that's an easy way to get, you know, to pawn it off on the next person, that it was their responsibility to build this child, and everyone's.
Well, with your background in social work and social services, it just seems, looking through your materials, that, boy, you really have a great program and really know what you're doing in terms of helping kids get through this thing called growing up in America.
Yeah, thank you.
What are some of the things that you're doing?
So our program is built on the concept of structuring a young person who we call a queen. So structuring our young queens using self-esteem, leadership, and confidence, exploring college and career opportunities, entrepreneurship, and classic etiquette. And a very specific part of our program, which makes us unique, is that we require parent participation and support in those efforts.
Oh, I love that.
So through that, we meet, our goal is to meet twice a month with the young girls, and usually they're within the age range of 6 to 16 years old, and they get to take advantage of group mentoring and also one-on-one mentoring to support the pillars of our program that I just mentioned.
I love the fact that you include the parents, because, you know, I've... there's kind of a dichotomy of marriage and having kids. There's really not a lot of training that goes on. I mean, you can get a marriage license and all of a sudden within a year you can be a mom and dad. And there may be some things that they can learn through parent participation. I think you found that, right?
I did. We were able to evolve that side of the program into almost a mirror reflection of what the girls are learning. So we have the moms in a separate room, and they're able to talk about what it means to feel like they have low self-esteem in certain areas of their life or lack confidence. And we really try to hone in and build that, because when you build a strong child and you build a strong parent, then you have a strong family. It's just inevitable. And so the parents have found the courage to go back to school, to go out for promotions that they've been wanting, that they've been hesitant about. So we push them forward, you know, into their life by just simply building those relationships.
That's fantastic. And so if somebody is interested in your programs, either in terms of, well, what are the opportunities? Of course, there'd be participation of the kids, of the girls. Mm-hmm. How about interns or volunteers?
We, our mentor staff is actually 100% volunteers.
Okay.
We look for college-educated volunteers for the most part. Age range doesn't matter, but as long as they have a genuine passion and commitment for working with young people, they can be a part of our team. We go through a rigorous interview process and some training at the beginning prior to the program year starting. So they would just contact me via the information on our website, and we would, you know, start a conversation about what that looks like, becoming a part of our team.
Okay. For you who have just tuned in, I'm talking to Nakia Matthews, who's a social worker, mother, and also the director of Purposeful Youth, a nonprofit in the Detroit area, dealing with young ladies from what age?
Ages 6 to 16 years old.
And if you want to get in touch with her, her website is pydetroit.com, right?
Yes.
That's for Purposeful Youth, pydetroit.com. And I'm sure there's a plenty of information on how to get a hold and how to get involved in it, either in terms of the participation of a young person that you know, or the village of the teaching the child thing I was talking about before. You know, if you want change in the Metro Detroit area, get involved in something like this, because these are the people who are out there, you know, the grassroots that are dealing with the kids. And like I said, there's no more valuable investment in our future than the kids, than the children, especially at that tender time. So you were telling me about some of the activities that they do that are very unique.
Yes, we... A large part of our program is what we call service learning, which is community service in the Metro Detroit area.
Mm.
We work with quite a few existing organizations such as Gleaners, the Motor City Blightbusters, the Detroit Urban Farm with Malik Yakini. And our girls have just gotten a deep understanding of what it means to actually be a part of the solution by putting your mind to creating solutions, putting your hand to actually making them manifest. And we've actually had an opportunity to develop our own opportunities, such as the Million Shoe March, where we start donations from all across the United States, and we just laid out thousands of free pairs of shoes for Metro Detroiters to come, grab a bag, and shop, interact with us, eat with us, laugh with us. We had music out, and we just humanized them. We don't care about your background, what you came from. You need shoes. We all need shoes. And so that opportunity, we had done it 2 years in a row, just really healed so many people's sense of self-worth.
Mm.
It's all about.
Boy, I think that you found that, would have to find that if you really want to develop self-esteem, teach kids how to give.
Yes.
You know, and so many times we're on the receiving end. That's the whole enemy of the potential enemy of social services. When you're giving, you know, food stamps, you're giving, you know, stipends and wages and all that kind of stuff and social services. But you really develop self-esteem, I would think, is when you learn to serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we teach our girls that in order to receive, you have to open your closed fist. So you give up something in order to get something. So we encourage them to reach into their own closets and pull out pairs of shoes that they love, even, or that they don't wear anymore, and give them to families in need. And it was just a powerful experience.
I see. Well, and I'm sure that, do you have any fundraisers that are regularly scheduled? Or I'm sure that if someone was interested, that they could donate to your cause, right?
They could, and mm-hmm. At a little point, you know, that's essential. I funded this program out of my own pocket and those donors very close to me for the 2 years, and we've just exhausted all of our resources, so we've actually been forced to take a break, and it's been very difficult for the parents and the girls to be away from one another. So we are hoping to restart in 2017, and donors are our primary, you know, resource right now. So if anybody wants to donate, they can certainly reach out to me on our website or directly by phone, and help us to get back rolling, you know, so we can reach more lives.
Well, you really have to be acknowledged for, you know, not only creating this, but, you know, funding it this far, and just knowing that the value of this organization is going to inspire other people, you know, serendipitously to come your way. You know, because it's just doing so many good things. What we found in the Butterfly Foundation is that this is not just an investment in the organization. It's an investment in our state, in our city of Detroit, because this pays off in terms of the criminal penal system billions of dollars if it can be avoided, people getting involved in that, you know, because there's that kind of endless cycle of returning to penal institutions, and if you can really catch them at this tender age, you can just do miracles. You can just do miracles in terms of changing lives.
Yes, you can. Infuse them with hope, and that changes the juvenile justice system.
Well, what's the typical day? I you told us about the shoes. What are some of the other activities of this organization?
We've done mock interviews with the girls, which was really an amazing experience to watch girls as young as 6 years old put on their blazers and their dress clothes, and they came to session one day. They were given a job description that they had to read through, some of them with parent assistance, and they had to fill out a mock application and come in for a mock interview, which, I mean, amazing exposure for children who are so far from ever, you know, being able to get a job, but they just the confidence that they build being able to sit across from someone and answer questions pointedly and directly and have a sense of pride with that. That's certainly one thing that we've done a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
In the etiquette portion of our program, we set up a mock restaurant where the girls were able to come in and learn classic etiquette techniques, what it means to talk at the dinner table using eye contact,
mm-hmm.
Asking for what you want, and our debutante ball at the end is a powerful experience as well. Once the girls go through their 10-month intensive in the program, they actually get to graduate with the classic debutante experience, the big white gowns with elbow gloves and tiaras, and get to present themselves to their family and friends as refined queens.
Mm.
It's a beautiful thing to witness.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, before we go, we've got a little bit of time. I just want you to give the website and the phone number again so that anyone who's interested in participating, either with someone that they know or a relative or a friend that could be part of the program or volunteer or even to just call and say hello.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love to talk to people. So mm-hmm. They can reach out to us at www.pydetroit.com, or you can reach me directly on my line, 313-207-1813.
One of the things that I was fascinated by last night is that the basics in terms of interaction with people. You had talked a little bit about, you know, the eye contact, and last night you talked about how to shake hands, and you know, these are things that are assumed that you learn from somewhere, your mom or dad or whatever, but you found that they really make a difference.
Yes, they do. I love to tell people the story about the day one of meeting our girls when they're signing up for the program, and they come in with the shy eyes, and we call them eyes to the floor. They don't know what it means to hold their chin up and to greet someone. And we teach them the art of conversation, because it's lost upon a lot of the youth today who are overly, you know, inundated with technology. Everything's about the computer and tablet and phone. And so just teaching them, you know, how to have conversation, how to take turns when speaking, how to listen actively, provide eye contact, do a firm handshake with confidence. And they just transform. You know, we talk about the butterfly. Do transform into such powerful and confident young ladies at the end of the program. And it bleeds into their home life, their school life. We get so many great reports about how teachers are raving about, you know, the evolution of the child. I can't get her to stop raising her hand now, you know. She answers every question. She didn't used to speak at all. So it's just really wonderful to watch the change.
Well, that change is going to continue because we're going to establish the intention right now through us here and the people in the studio that this is going to continue. It's going to be a success. And you, Nakia, are affecting a lot of lives, and God bless you for that. And just know that it is God's work, and that the kids, I know, their lives are going to be enriched because of it. Thank you so much, and God bless, Nakia.
For having me, John.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you guys later. Carrie will be back next week, and we'll have another wonderful guest that can be inspirational to us in our own life and really make a difference. And very soon, you can be on the show, too, with your own butterfly moment. Take care. God bless.